Giving them to the beautiful hopes we embrace. May God add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Bernard. I appreciate your lesson on these four coverings that each have their own antitypical meaning. Our last part of the symposium, Brother Sean Humphreys has pleasantly agreed to serve us, and that's on Levites. We're pleased to introduce Brother Sean.
The Levites were called Levites because they were in the tribe that descended from Levi, the third son of Jacob. According to Genesis 49:5-7, and this was during the time when Jacob, it was towards the close of his life, and he was pronouncing blessings and also cursings, or negative thoughts regarding the lives of his children, his sons. There was a curse because upon two of the sons, Simeon and Levi. And the reason for that is because there was a problem with their sister Dinah, and the two boys went and took the lives of the Hivites, and so therefore Jacob mentioned that these two would be scattered in the land of Israel. However, because the tribe of Levi supported Moses in the incident regarding the golden calf, they somewhat redeemed themselves. Thus, though they were indeed divided and scattered in Jacob, this turned out to be a good thing in their case, as the Levites were scattered in various Levitical cities so that they could be an influence for godliness among the tribes. The book of Leviticus is named after this tribe. However, surprisingly, the term Levite or Levites does not appear in the book with the exception of two incidental verses near the close of the book, referring to the Levitical cities during the Jubilee year, and that's Leviticus 25:32-33, so towards the close of the book. Thus, the book of Leviticus is not really about the Levites as a whole. It was more particularly about the priests, who, of course, they were also Levites naturally. The book of Leviticus contains the regulations of the law, God's law, respecting the duties of the priests and the sacrifices handled by the priests. It is about the Levitical priesthood, but other than the sons of Aaron, he had four sons, the book does not discuss the Levites generally or the duties assigned to them respecting the tabernacle. For that, we need to go to the book of Numbers. Chapter 1 of Numbers, so chapter 1, records the numbering of the Israelite men from the age of 20 and onward that were able to go to war. That was kind of a delineation. However, verse 47 says, Numbers 1:47, "But the Levites after the tribe of their fathers were not numbered among them." This was because the Levites were not to be warriors, for God had a different duty for them. Verse 50 says that they were appointed to be over the tabernacle of the testimony. So you didn't want to combine those two qualities of being aggressive, a warrior, and over the responsibilities over the tabernacle. Couldn't be. Verse 50 says that they were appointed over the tabernacle of testimony and over all of the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof. It was the Levites' duty to transport, set up, and care for all of the items composing the tabernacle as well as the court. Numbers 3:5-7 says this of the Levites, "And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. Verses 12 through 13, 12 and 13 of the same chapter, chapter 3 of Numbers, tells that God exchanged the firstborn of the Israelites for the Levites. He exchanged the firstborn of the Israelites for the Levites to be a special people devoted to God's service. Paul, in Hebrews 12:23, refers to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven, as those called to a heavenly reward. Therefore, the firstborn of Israel represent a spiritual class, because the firstborn were exchanged for the Levites. It seems that the Levites also, in some way, picture those who have a heavenly calling. And yet those Levites that were the sons of Aaron were not actually priests. They were not actually priests. In Revelation 20, verse 6, the elect saints who reign with Christ are all considered to be priests of God, to serve mankind, the world, during the millennium. Perhaps, therefore, in the big picture, the Levites represent the great company class that will, in glory, they will assist the church during the millennium, even though they themselves will not be considered priests to bring the world back to God. There are four things about the Levites that support this identification. Number one, the Levites had no inheritance in the land, as the other tribes did. This is at least consistent with the thought that the Levites represent a class that has a heavenly calling rather than an earthly calling. Yet the Levites that were not priests would represent a class of the heavenly calling that do not attain the priesthood. That could be the great company class. Number two, as we've already noted, the Levites were unnumbered, if you remember that. They were unnumbered. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, maybe that'll be familiar, the great company class is introduced in Revelation. They are specifically identified as an unnumbered group. After this I behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. The fact that these are unnumbered is in contrast to the verses which come before in the chapter, where the church class is numbered as 12,000 from each of the 12 individual tribes of spiritual Israel. The fact that the great company class is unnumbered and that the Levites also are unnumbered suggests a connection between those two groups. Number three, Numbers chapter 8, and this will be an interesting connection which we can kind of put in our memory, kind of help us to retain this. Numbers chapter 8 describes the presentation of the Levites to Aaron and his sons, the priests, to be assistants in their religious duties toward Israel. It's easy to remember this number 8 because Leviticus, now we just mentioned that was Numbers chapter 8, well, in Leviticus chapter 8 is where it's discussing the consecration of the priests. So in Leviticus 8, it's discussing the consecration of the priest. In Numbers chapter 8, the discussion is regarding the consecration of the Levites. Among the first things done to the Levites was to have their garments washed. Numbers 8:7 says, "Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh." and let them wash their clothes and so make themselves clean. This washing of their clothes is interesting because when the priesthood was consecrated in Leviticus, there was no mention of washing clothes as with the Levites. There was a mention of washing their bodies, but not washing their clothes. However, in Revelation 7:14, this is one of the distinctive features about the great company. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The reason for this distinction between the overcoming church and the great company is probably to show that the great company is not careful enough about their sins. They allow them, unfortunately, to accumulate like spots on a garment, and these spots need to be cleansed through individual trials here, custom-tailored trials, if you will, before they can be presented for holy service to the saints in heaven. The Apostle Jude touches a little bit about this, one aspect. Jude 1:23, he used a similar metaphor when he refers to the garment spotted by the flesh. Finally, number four, Ezekiel in chapters 40 through 48, that's Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48, gives a vision about the millennial kingdom of Christ. In part of this vision, Ezekiel speaks about the Levites and the job assigned to them. This is Ezekiel 44:10 through 14, which reads in part as follows. The Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house. They shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest, but I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. Verse 11 says, they will be ministers in my sanctuary. The sanctuary is a place that the prince class in Ezekiel, the ancient worthies, the princes, they will not enter. Ezekiel 44:1-3. This suggests that the Levites represent a heavenly class as compared to the ancient worthies, who are an earthly class. And some may have even a varying thought on that, possibly. This compares favorably to Revelation 7:15, which says of the great company class, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve God day and night in his temple. Being in God's temple indicates that these are a heavenly class. So, kind of summing it up, these four things about the Levites. Number one, they had no inheritance in the land. Number two, they were an unnumbered class. Three, they washed their clothes before being presented as helpers for the priest. And then four, they serve in the heavenly sanctuary. These are generally widely accepted amongst the brethren, indicating that the Levites represent the great company class in a big picture. Now, the gospel age. However, the question remains for us, do the Levites represent anything specific during this gospel age? Remember, in all the services assigned to the priesthood, in Leviticus, not a single mention is made of the Levites. Perhaps the point here is that during the gospel age, so we kind of focus our mind on the gospel age, before the time of judgment and rewards, there is no separate great company class. The calling during this gospel age is to one thing. There's the one hope of your calling, namely to be of the bride of Christ, to reign with Christ during the millennium. as priests for the world of mankind. And I'd like to briefly read Ephesians 4 through 6, and that reads, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Words from the Apostle Paul. During the Gospel age, there are many in the Christian world that have not gone forward to a full consecration of their lives. They are Christian people that meet in Christian circles. They may be helpful to the cause of Christ and provide a good Christian influence among society. Perhaps these are represented by the Levites, who support the lifting, the caring, the setting up, the covering, and maintenance of the tabernacle, court, and all of the furnishings. Any Israelite who approached in faith to render an offering to God had access to the court, not to the inner location that Bernard and Brother Robin were speaking of, but in the court. Leviticus 1:11 shows this by saying that anyone who brought a burnt offering shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before Jehovah. That would have been inside the court. Then the priests, the sons of Aaron, would sprinkle blood round about upon the altar. Therefore, certainly, the Levites also were allowed to enter the court. Perhaps the Levites assisted the people with their offerings in the court. This is suggested in Ezekiel 44, verse 11. However, not even Levites were allowed to approach the altar. That was the privilege only of the priests. In fact, even those who were sons of Aaron but were blemished, now we're going to identify the requirement involved, those that were blemished could not come near the altar. Leviticus 21:21-23. "No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of Jehovah, nor come nigh unto the altar." So even for a priest to approach the altar, there were requirements about the garments that he needed to wear in order to be approved. Exodus 28:43. So finally, in conclusion, in any case, the absence of mention of Levites in the laws of Leviticus, but their appearance in the book of Numbers, after they have washed their clothes, seems to indicate in the primary picture, respecting this class, that would be of this class is of the great company, assisting the priest class to help the world in the millennium. And we will turn over to the chairman.
Thank you, Brother Sean, for a very nice lesson on the Levites. So many details and so much rich information in this and all of these services. We're going to close with hymn 178. After that, we'll ask Brother Sean to close our meeting with prayer. We're going to have our next session, a testimony meeting, and we have a short break, but fortunately on this session we didn't go over, so we're okay. So hymn number 178.
Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the words of this hymn, the sentiments, what they mean to us. And we're all thankful for the intricacies, the lessons from Thy tabernacle and all of Thy plan that will redound to Thy glory throughout all of the happy future that will be experienced by all mankind that are willing to accept of Thy provisions. We leave the further care of this meeting and of this day, of this convention, in Thy able care and keeping. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.